Have you ever wondered why our almighty and merciful God allows cruel and godless men and women to have such power in this world? As we once more in the season of Lent retrace the journey of our Savior to the cross, we meet all kinds of unsavory people like King Herod, Governor Pontius Pilate, High Priest Caiaphas. All of them were in high positions of power. Pontius Pilate told Jesus that he had the power to crucify or release Jesus. And he was right. But Jesus responded by saying, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above." So it was God who gave Pilate his authority and power to govern Judea. But this leads us to ask the question once more, why does God allow such ungodly people to have such power? Since all scripture has been written for our learning, we go back to the Old Testament book of the prophet Jeremiah, the 25th chapter, and he will enlighten us on this question. Now, the powerful, godless ruler that is referred to in Kings and Chronicles and Jeremiah and Daniel is the great Babylonian emperor Nebuchadnezzar II. Historians consider Nebuchadnezzar the greatest of all the kings of the Babylonian Empire. God himself pictured Nebuchadnezzar as the head of gold in a dream, and he said that the silver empire that followed him was inferior to his. And the history books celebrate Nebuchadnezzar for three main reasons: his military might, the splendor of his city of Babylon, and his role in Jewish history. Now, these are the words that God gave Jeremiah concerning Nebuchadnezzar, as recorded in Jeremiah chapter 25. It was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign as king of Babylon, Jeremiah's 23rd year as God's prophet. And that is generally figured to be about 605 BC. Jeremiah said to the people of Judea and Jerusalem at this point, "This is the 23rd year in which the word of the Lord has come to me, but you have not listened." So what did Jeremiah and the other prophets of God tell the people? What was their message? "Repent now, every one of his evil way and his evil doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord has given to you." So if they had repented and had listened to the Lord, they would be able to remain in their land. God had warned them through the prophets, "Do not go after other gods. Do not provoke me to anger." But Jeremiah says, "You have not listened." So now we see how God is going to use this brand new king in Babylon, this mighty Nebuchadnezzar. This king had, from his youth, helped to build the great temple of Marduk, the Babylonian god. This king, as commander-in-chief of his father's army, had destroyed the power of the once mighty Egyptian empire. And this is what God told Jeremiah to say to the people of Judea and Jerusalem. "Because you have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, against its inhabitants, and against these nations all around, and will utterly destroy them." Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones and the light of the lamp. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. So God tells Jeremiah what he is going to do to his rebellious and idolatrous people, and he says whom he is going to use as his tool or instrument to bring about this judgment. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and notice what he calls him, my servant. So Nebuchadnezzar was a servant of God in this way that God used him to punish his rebellious people. There's no evidence that Nebuchadnezzar himself became a true believer in the promises God gave to his people, although God did humble him before the mighty God. But now, what about Nebuchadnezzar and his empire? It's not there today, is it? 70 years. God gave his people to be under the dominion of Nebuchadnezzar. And what happened after those 70 years? Well, this is what it says. This is what God said. It will come to pass when 70 years are completed that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, the land of the Chaldeans, for their iniquity, and I will make it a perpetual desolation. So you see, God uses one nation, one ruler, to punish another one. And then the nation that he had used to punish itself is punished by someone else. So you see, all these are tools and instruments of our Lord. And in that sense, they are his servants. And of course, the same is true of Herod, Pilate, Caiaphas. Enemies of the Lord, and yet they were servants of God in a way. There is no record that any of them came to faith in Jesus, but in the same way that Nebuchadnezzar was God's servant, so these three enemies of the Lord, Herod, Pilate, and Caiaphas, were also God's unwitting servants. Listen to the early Christians as they prayed to the Lord. Truly, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. So Herod, Pilate and Caiaphas did what they did in opposition to the Lord as his enemies, but what they did was whatever God's hand and God's purpose determined before to be done. So Jesus is God's holy servant, but Herod and Pilate and Caiaphas were, in a way, God's godless servants, doing what God had previously determined in his, according to his plan of salvation, to do. And so also today, God allows godless leaders to do what they do, but finally only as servants of God. He uses them as he works all things together for good to his people, according to his eternal and unchanging plan of salvation. We sing hymn number 798 in the Lutheran service book. We'll sing stanzas 1, 3, and 7.